Well, good morning again, church family.
Good morning.
This, as already said, is a very special Sunday because today, instead of hearing me preach or teach about anything, especially Thanksgiving, instead of teaching about it, we just get to do it very practically in a way that's very very God-centered. And so I want to read to you one verse that sort of summarizes what we're doing. There's more to say, but I want to read this one. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, and he says this. This is Paul explaining kind of the lengths that he's going to take the gospel and the hardships he's enduring and so forth to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And here's what he says. He says, "For it is all for your sake," meaning you, "so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." Now, if I were to do a teaching on that, I would pull from a variety of other places and add to that verse more than thanksgiving. So this says it may increase thanksgiving, and I would pull from other places to include it's also to increase rejoicing and to increase our joy in the Lord and increase our vision of Him, seeing Him, and increase our affections and our love for Him. We talked last week about being a people who love God first and foremost and love others. And so I would include a variety of things like that because Scripture includes a variety of things like that to the glory of God. So that was the goal we talked about last week. And then this week we get to do it really practical, in a real practical way. I didn't time that or plan that, by the way, but somebody did. And so now we get to practice what we preached last week. And so what I've asked, what I do at this time is this time of the year, I ask the Lord to, I just pursue the Lord on a number of people. Who do you want me to pursue for this? And He gives me some names. And then I pursue these people. And the assignment, the goal is tell us what's been going on in your life, namely tell us what God has been doing in your life over the last year. And the goal is there's many goals here. One is for us to see that God really is present and active. A lot of us, if we think the word testimony, we think coming to faith, or we think maybe this one big experience that was really awesome and really powerful 20 years ago. But God is doing stuff now. And so this is I want to challenge every one of you, and hopefully through their sharing, it will challenge you as well to consider the ways God has been active in your life over this last year. I think it's a good exercise for us to just think about it in that way. And I hope that the sharing here will prompt us to realize, oh, God's done some of that in my life too, and He's been active in my life too. And so we want to see the activity of God and not just see it, but like that wall says, we want to see it, and then we want to savor it. And then the people who are sharing are going to make it known. They're going to share it with you, and they're going to magnify it, meaning we're going to put a magnifying glass on it. We want to make it real clear, zoom in a bit, if you will, so that you can see what God is doing. And the ultimate goal of this whole thing is that He, as this verse says, is that He would be made much of, that He would be glorified. And so the goal is not, here's how busy I've been this last year. Here's the stuff I've been up to. Here's the things I've learned, and here's the things I'm thankful for. There's room for all that in the conversation. But the ultimate goal is, look what He has done in my life this year. Look how great He is. This God is awesome. So that's the goal. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to call our first person forward to share. And if you just pray along with me, that God would really speak through these individuals and have His way for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what an awesome Sunday this is, and what an awesome opportunity it is to involve the family and to involve lay people and people we just would never hear from otherwise, and allow them to come forward and magnify You, make much of You, exalt You, point at You, not themselves. We love this. We love that. We don't want to see people exalted. We want to see You exalted. We want to see Your attributes on display. We want to hear stories and testimonies of Your goodness and Your faithfulness and Your mercy, not just in Scripture, but in the lives of ordinary people every day. And so, Lord God, I pray that You'll fill those who are going to be sharing this morning. I pray that You'll fill them with Your Spirit. I pray that You will take over, that they will be vessels for You. That they will share exactly what You desire for them to share, and that they would be totally led by You in the way that they share. And I pray that as they do that, we would be encouraged, that we would be ministered to and cared for by you through their sharing. I pray that you would give us eyes to see, open hearts, that we would see your activity and that we would know you're active, you're present, you're with us, you're doing so much more than we see, and not just in the lives of these few people, but in our lives as well. And so I pray that through this time of sharing, I pray that you'll begin to open our eyes, perhaps more than they're already open, to what you've been doing in our life. Help us to train the way we think, renew our minds to see this, to think this way about your activity in our life regularly. And so, Lord God, we just commit this time to you. We commit those who are going to be sharing to you and trust them to you. And I know them. I've spoken with each of them, and their desire is that you be lifted up and made much of. That's their heart. That's their aim. And so we ask that you would see to it that that happens. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Kim Hunt is first. Yes, over here. Sorry.
Most of you know that last December, 3 days before we were to leave to celebrate Christmas with our family in Texas, I broke my femur. I climbed on a counter to clean a high cabinet and fell off. God was so gracious and merciful throughout this trial, and he used many of you to minister to us in a way that we felt so cared for and loved. Thanks for each of you who prayed, brought meals, ran errands, provided support and encouragement through visits, text, cards, and calls. We thank God for his provision through our BBF family, who truly are the hands and feet of Jesus, to the praise of his glory. We really love you guys, and we love how much this church really feels and functions like a family. During the ambulance ride to David, I remember reciting James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 over and over, which says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." The women's Bible study group was actually studying this chapter at that time, which was no coincidence. And it changed my perspective as I journeyed through this trial. God taught me many things and really did work everything for my good. May he get all the glory as I share some of what he has done this past year. A few weeks before I broke my femur, I actually broke my toe. In retrospect, I think God was trying to get my attention and slow me down. But unfortunately, I didn't listen or receive this at the time. I treated it as a mere inconvenience and moved on without taking time to intentionally seek him and his perspective about this. When I broke my femur, however, God made sure I got the message. He didn't just slow me down, y'all. He brought me to a dead stop. Nevertheless, his goodness and mercy continued to flow unrestricted. He graciously allowed me plenty of time to focus on him. I spent much of my time in the days, weeks, and months following the accident reading, meditating, and memorizing his word, listening to sermons, praying, and spending unhurried time with him. For those of you who know me, unhurried was not a word that would have described me before this trial. The Lord and I really enjoyed our time together. In fact, I think he enjoyed it so much that a month later, he slowed me down some more. While I was attempting to do some laundry while balancing on one leg, I lost my balance and fell and broke my wrist. I remember laying on the floor, waiting for Richard to help me up and thanking the Lord for not giving up on me. Although these three breaks were painful and not at all what I planned, he used this time for my good, and I'm thankful that he continues to sanctify me and draw me closer to him. He's not done with me yet. Praise him. Throughout these trials, I often asked him and asked him what he wanted me to learn. I asked for his enabling to find joy and that I might glorify him through these circumstances. And I truly believe he answered these prayers. Praise God, we have a God who listens and answers prayer. Amen. God provided in such amazing ways after my fall. He provided an ambulance, a wonderful orthopedic surgeon, whom I actually met when I broke my toe. And he was waiting for me at the hospital when I arrived. I was able to have surgery within hours of the fall. The care I received was absolutely exceptional. God showed his mercy and grace over and over. When I woke up from surgery, I was trying really hard to convince Richard to go to Texas and celebrate Christmas with family. I so wanted him to spend face-to-face time with our kids and to, you know, really find out how they're doing when you talk to them face-to-face. I told him, I'll be fine. All I need is a wheelchair. Ooh, I was a little wrong on that one. That was the morphine talking. Through this, God showed me the importance of taking one day at a time and to depend 100% on him and his timing, because his plans are always better than our plans. Not only did he give me the grace to endure this trial, but he walked with me every step of the way, never leaving or forsaking me. And he also provided me with an understanding husband who exercised patience and wisdom. Needless to say, he didn't listen to my morphine-inspired suggestions to leave me alone and go to Texas, and I'm so grateful. When the first person from BBF, Marie France, where are you, texted me about bringing a meal, I immediately said, I don't need anything. I find it very difficult to receive help and would much rather be giving help. But God convicted me about this. I realized that God himself was ministering to us through our BBF family. And he showed me that my initial inclination to reject assistance was actually a rejection of him, which was the last thing I wanted. When I saw it this way, I was all the more grateful for our family and the Lord's caring for us and loving on us through y'all. We were so grateful for all the ways y'all helped us. And I'm also extremely grateful for Richard, who took care of all my needs. Y'all, I didn't get out of bed for 10 days. He took all of my needs in such a loving and caring way. God sure poured out his love, grace, mercy as we journeyed through this past year. As I studied and meditated on God's word, he convicted me to live in the present, not to ruminate about the past or beat myself up over past mistakes or be anxious about tomorrow. This is something I struggled with my entire life, and it kept me in bondage for a very long time. I lived in a state of anxiety and fear over the past and worrying about the future. My body stayed in a state of fight or flight, which caused some chronic health issues. The one thing that has helped me more than anything with this is memorizing scripture. For most of my life, I used my memory problems, which started in my 40s, as an excuse to not memorize scripture. I told myself, I can't do that. But God convicted me in this area as well. And he didn't just convict me, but as the perfect shepherd that he is, he came alongside me and he showed me how he really desired to do this with me. What I received was not mainly a rebuke, but his heart for me and his desire to connect with me and grow me in this way. He desires for us to have his word written on our hearts. So I began asking him to give me the desire to memorize his word, because frankly, I didn't have a strong desire for this. And I asked him to enable me to do that. Guess what? He did. He answered these prayers, y'all. He not only did he change my heart and give me the desire that I previously did not have, but with some tips that I learned from Bible teacher Susan Heck, God enabled me to memorize and retain full chapters and even some entire books of the Bible. Now I can more easily combat thoughts that don't align with God's word. I find it much easier to take the lies and the stinking thinking captive. Having his word memorized enables me to speak his truth into circumstances. And when I find myself ruminating on wrong thinking, events, conversations, past mistakes, and so on, his word is powerful. And being able to speak his word whenever I need it has been a game changer in my emotional, physical, and spiritual health. I used to worry about and be concerned with so much. But through many of these experiences in this last year, I have come to know a fuller freedom in Christ that has radically changed my life. Just ask Richard. God is truly transforming my thinking and changing wrong thoughts that I had on repeat in my brain. Memorizing God's word is something we all can do, but only with his help and by his enablement. It just takes desire and an intention on our part. And I can speak from personal experience that God will give that to you if you ask. I think y'all would agree that God is sovereign. But for me, that was mostly head knowledge. After listening to Pastor Brian's sermon on the life of Joseph, which I highly recommend, and journeying through this past year, that truth moved from here to here. In one of the sermons in that series, Brian said, God is intimately involved in our thinking, our willing, and our acting. He is intentional in absolutely everything. So looking at this past year through that lens enabled me to find joy through these trials, enjoy a deeper relationship with the Lord, and see his sovereign hand of mercy, grace, design, and care that I would never have seen otherwise. And for all this and more, I am so grateful and I give him all the glory.
Behold, I will bring to it health and healing, and I will heal them and reveal to them abundance of prosperity and security. Jeremiah 33:6.
Kim, that was an amazing story. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Good morning, church family. This has been a very special year for me, and I want to share it with you all. Many good things have come into my life this year. BBF, our Pastor Brian, the church family, the study groups and their leaders, and the gatherings and friendships with church members. Many changes have happened, but the biggest, best, most important change of all is that the Lord performed a miracle on me. God truly opened his eyes, my eyes, to see and receive him. The idea of a loving God involved in my daily life was new to me. I came to realize what I was missing. Members of the church family reached out to me, talked to me, made me feel welcome, and God opened my heart. The teachings began to make sense as my understanding began to grow. God opened my eyes to see him, and I received his word. And so I made the decision early this year to be baptized. And what a celebration that turned out to be. The Lord has led me. I think there was a message there. The Lord has led me to participate in several activities to strengthen my faith. Larry Dusanik is discipling me now to grow. We are following the program entitled Discipleship Essentials, A Guide to Building Your Life in Christ. This program is excellent, demands real work, and I want to thank Larry for all the time and effort he has spent into bringing me to the Lord. Thank you. I am thoroughly enjoying the Bible study meetings that I'm able to attend. The leaders are truly doing God's work, helping people like me to grow. Thank you. Through our brother Jim Fuller, the Lord led me to join Journey Panama, a missionary program for Nobi children on two large coffee fincas. Seeing the kindness and caring the children have for each other has truly opened my eyes to see what love and trust can do. We can learn much from how these children love one another. Other brothers have stepped forward to play key roles in my growth. We've spent much time together drinking coffee, talking informally about the church and God, and what it means to be a Christian, and how to handle life's many problems and personal matters. They are truly the brothers that I never had. God really is at work in my life. To close, a person who rarely entered the church has been born again and active in Christ-centered activities 6 days a week. This level of immersion is transforming me and my daily thoughts, my activities, and the values, my values. I know I have become a kinder, gentler, and more generous man and husband. All credit goes to the Lord, and I thank Him every day for the role that this church has played in my life. Thank you, church family, for your kindness, your friendship, and your support. Joanne and I love you, and we are honored to be part of your family in Christ. Thank you very much.
He said, except for the breakfast with the guys, because that didn't happen. Honest. So, good morning. I was going to start by telling you all how I came to leave the Catholic Church, how I lost all my confidence in organized religion at about 11 years old, sitting in fifth grade in Our Lady of the Greenwood Catholic School, and how I spent about 57 years muscling my way through life with unending belief and faith in God, but without Jesus. That's important. My spiritual story really starts here, now, in Boquete, with all of you, my church family. It begins with the following words. I accept Jesus into my heart, into my life. He is my Lord and Savior. I've never said that before in public. All praise goes to God. God miraculously brought Jim and I to this town, this church, this conscious acceptance of this miraculous gift of salvation. I look around at all of you, and I understand what people have been telling me for years. I see a church family in Christ, which I have never had before. I want to thank you all for accepting me, warts, sinful nature and all, and really bad jokes sometimes. I feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit working here, working through you and working through me. And the presence is astonishing to me. I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ, and I am regenerated. Praise God. I said that. Praise God right there. So a little bit of soul telling on myself. As of November 26th, I have 7 years of sobriety. It's okay. God did it. I didn't. God did it. The power of the Holy Spirit performed a miracle in my life and gave me the strength to quit drinking alcohol. Jesus gives me the resolve to remain sober every day. This is the newfound clarity I have, that I've begun to realize that God has been working miracles in my life for my entire life. God has been making the seemingly impossible possible for me in every area of my life from the beginning. I am just beginning to realize the amazing gifts He has given me to just break the surface of His mighty power. To my astonishment, I now realize that God loves me and He wants me to be happy. That He gave His only Son to die on the cross for me. I've been washed clean by the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. And for that, I am so grateful and humbled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the life that I had without you in my heart. All the while, you lovingly guided and protected me in spirit and in spite of my sinful ways, ultimately bringing me to this moment of enlightenment by your Holy Spirit. I have come to accept your gifts and affirm today that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to share with you that it is my profound wish to be baptized here with my church family, where my life as a regenerated soul has begun. Thank you. Thank you, God. All glory and honor is His.
Hallelujah.
Dios me lo bendiga a todos.
Good morning to everybody.
Estamos agradecidos por la oportunidad que se nos da.
We're so thankful for the opportunity that's been given to us.
Y por las cosas maravillosas que Dios está haciendo aquí.
And for the wonderful things that God is doing here in this place.
Hay un verso que me encanta bastante de la Biblia.
There's a verse that I love from the Bible.
En el libro de Salmos.
In the book of Psalms.
139.
Psalm 139.
Versículo 17 y 18.
Verses 17 and 18.
Y dice la palabra del Señor.
And the word of God says.
Cuán precioso me son, oh Dios, tus pensamientos.
How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God.
Y cuán grande es la suma de ellos.
How great is the sum of them.
Si los enumero,
if I should count them,
se multiplican más que la arena del mar.
They would be more in number than the sand.
Y los pensamientos de Dios para nosotros,
and the thoughts of God for us,
que son sus planes,
that are His plans for us,
que se cumplen en nuestra vida,
that are accomplished in our lives,
día a día,
every day,
son tantas,
are so many,
que si las contáramos, tardáramos todo el día aquí.
That if we tried to count them, we'd be here all day.
Pero hay tantas cosas maravillosas que Dios hace en nuestra vida.
But there are so many wonderful things that God does every day in our lives.
Y una de ellas muy importante.
And one of those that are very important.
Es ver el cumplimiento de la palabra de Dios.
Is to see God's word come to fruition.
Por medio de mi esposa.
Through my wife.
Le doy gracias a Dios por ella.
I'd give God thanks for her.
Por su vida.
For her life.
Ella es la corona de oro.
She is the crown of gold.
Como dice el libro de los Proverbios.
Like the book of Proverbs says.
Que distingue mi cabeza.
That distinguishes my head.
Y le doy gracias al Señor por ella.
I give thanks to God for her.
Y por todo lo que el Señor hace por medio de nosotros.
And for everything that God is doing through us.
Lo que Dios ha puesto en su corazón.
And what God has put in her heart.
Un corazón lleno de su amor.
A heart full of His love.
Es una servidora fiel de Dios.
She's a faithful servant of God.
Que ama a Dios con toda su alma.
That loves God with all of her soul.
Con toda su mente.
With all of her mind.
Con todo su corazón.
With all of her heart.
Y con toda su fuerza.
And with all of her strength.
Y eso es lo que le he pedido a Dios.
And that's what I asked God for.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por eso.
And I thank God for giving her to me.
También quiero darle gracias a Dios.
I also would like to thank God.
Por nuestro hermano Ángel que está acá.
For our brother Angel that
él
is here.
Una bendición para nuestras
he
vidas.
Is a blessing for our lives.
Dios lo ha traído a nuestras vidas con un propósito.
God has brought him into our lives with a purpose.
Él participa con nosotros en el hospital.
He participates with us at the hospital.
Visitando a los enfermos.
And visiting the sick.
Ya pronto va a ir a la cárcel con nosotros.
Soon
también.
He'll start going to the prison with us as well.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por su vida.
And I thank God for his life.
Porque sé que Dios lo ha traído para hacer cosas maravillosas.
Because I know God has brought him here to do wonderful things through
y,
him.
Y tengo dos preciosas nietas.
And I have two wonderful grandchildren.
Las cual amo bastante.
Who I love greatly.
Pero yo, al igual que toda la familia.
But myself, as well as the rest of my family,
hemos estado esperando al nieto.
We've also been waiting for the grandson. He has two granddaughters.
Y esperamos 12 años.
And we waited for 12 years
para ver al nieto.
To have the grandson.
Y ya llegó.
And he arrived. He's here.
Se llama Andrews.
He's called Andrews.
Gracias al Señor en el mes de septiembre.
And thank God in the month of September.
Mi hija lo trajo.
My daughter brought
de tomarlo
him
en mis brazos,
so that I could carry him in my
abrazarlo,
arms and hug him.
Y sé que Dios va a hacer cosas maravillosas en su vida.
And I know God will do wonderful things in his life.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por eso.
I thank God for that.
Hay un verso que está en el libro de Primera de Tesalonicenses.
There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians.
Capítulo 5.
Verse 15, or verse 5, sorry.
Versículo 18.
5:18.
Y dice, da gracias a Dios en todo.
In everything give thanks.
Y meditaba en esto.
And I meditated on that.
Porque normalmente...
Because normally,
damos gracias a Dios por lo que recibimos.
We give thanks to God for what we receive.
Pero no, no damos gracias a veces por lo que Dios está haciendo.
But sometimes we don't give thanks for what he is doing.
No a favor nuestro.
Not on behalf of
sino
us.
Sino a favor de lo que están en nuestro entorno.
But on behalf of those that are around us.
Y la verdad que estoy agradecido.
And really I'm very thankful.
Porque he podido ver cómo Dios.
Because I've been able to see how God.
Ha podido obrar de una manera sobrenatural.
Has worked in a supernatural way.
En nuestra visita al hospital.
In our visits to the hospital.
Le doy gracias a Dios por eso.
I thank God for that.
Porque no recibo directamente nada.
Because we really didn't do anything directly.
Pero los que están allá están recibiendo.
But those that are in the hospital are receiving from God.
Y es tan es algo tan tremendo.
And it's something that's so tremendous.
Ver como una madre desconsolada.
Seeing how, for instance, a mother who is disconsolate
está siendo consolada
is being
Espíritu Santo.
Comforted by hearing what we have to say.
Es algo tan hermoso.
It's so wonderful.
Ver a un padre
to see a father
que ha perdido la esperanza,
that has lost his hope,
viendo a su hijo en una cama,
seeing his son in a bed, hospital
tal vez
bed,
porque ya le dijeron que va a morir,
maybe because they told him he's going to die,
pero recibe esperanza por medio de la palabra del Señor.
But he receives hope through the word of God.
Ayer fuimos al hospital.
Yesterday we went to the hospital.
Y había un joven que tenía las marcas de una soga en su cuello todavía.
And there was a young person that had the marks of a rope around his neck.
Él intentó ahorcarse.
He tried to kill himself.
Se le veía la carne viva todavía.
And you could see the open wound on his neck.
Y meditaba en esto ayer, hoy, y hoy nuevamente.
I was meditating on that yesterday and today.
Y daba gracias al Señor.
And I was giving thanks to God.
Porque lo que el enemigo quiso hacer para muerte,
because what the enemy tried to do through death,
Dios lo transformó para vida.
God transformed it into life.
Porque le compartimos la palabra a los hermanos,
because we shared the word of God with him,
y él recibió a Cristo como su
Salvador,
and
he received Jesus into his heart,
y pasó de muerte a vida,
and he went from death to life.
Y damos gracias al Señor por eso.
We thank God for that.
Por las personas que están, me gusta esa sección desde el hospital.
Yeah, well, I love those sessions in the hospital.
Porque cuando vamos, están sacando gente en bolsas.
Because they're taking people out of the hospital in bags, body bags.
Están las personas que ya las desechó la ciencia.
Those are the people where science can no longer help.
Ya no hay oportunidad.
Yeah, there is no more opportunity.
Pero hay esperanza por medio de la palabra del Señor.
But there's hope through the word of God.
Ellos reciben.
And they receive.
Es tan maravilloso.
Something so wonderful.
Ver una mujer con cáncer.
To see, for instance, a woman with cancer.
Otra vez con leucemia.
Or maybe she has leukemia.
Ya le dijeron, puedes irte a tu casa.
And she said, you can go home to your house.
Porque no hay más nada que hacer.
Nothing we can do for you.
Pero damos gracias a todo esto.
But we thank God for that.
Porque vemos que ellos se van a su casa, pero con el Señor en su corazón.
But we thank God because they go back to their home with Christ in their heart.
Y le damos gracias por todas esas cosas maravillosas.
We thank him for all those wonderful things.
Porque sé que todo esto,
because I know that all of these things
que Dios hace,
that God is doing
a través de nuestras vidas,
through our lives,
son para honra y gloria de su
are for his honor and glory.
Igualmente doy gracias a cada uno de los hermanos.
I also give thanks to all of our brothers and sisters
por cada abrazo,
for every hug,
por una sonrisa,
for every smile,
por un apretón de mano,
for every handshake.
Crea lo que eso nos da la fuerza.
That also gives us strength.
Para salir de aquí cada domingo.
To leave from here every Sunday.
E ir a hacer la obra de Dios.
And do the work of the Lord.
Amen. Que muchas gracias. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Que el Señor me le bendiga.
Thank you and God bless you.
Psalm 37 verses 23 and 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Read with me. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, Grace, and lots of it.
I was worried. I thought we were going to have to do a solo up here.
Yeah. They could.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jen, and this is my husband, Jim. We moved to Panama on November 25th of 2024. So we just celebrated our one-year Panniversary, as we call it. We made it. We have lived in 5 places this year, the majority of that time being in Volcan. And as you know, Panamanians celebrated their independence from Spain this Friday. You're very aware of it, I'm sure. And God has been showing us this year the exact opposite, how to celebrate our absolute dependence on Him in everything and at every time. As we reflected on what God has been doing in our lives this past year, a couple of words came to mind: guidance and grace. So we just want to share a snapshot of what God's done in each of those ways for us this year, how He's guided and how He's met us with grace.
So let me share how He's guided us. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." In our marriage and lives, we have prayed all along that God goes before us in everything that we do. Living outside the U.S. has never really been on my radar, but being totally out of debt was a biblical principle we both wished for, but simply couldn't with a mortgage and all the things that surround it. So after some research, God opened the door to Panama. I reached out to believers in Panama through social media, people with like minds and hearts. I knew their experiences would be closely related to our potential experiences of living here. But honestly, they all lived in Volcan. So Volcan became what we believe to be God's target. It was made even more apparent to me when we drove from David to Volcan, and Jen teared up and said, "This feels like home." And it's been where we've lived most of the year we've been in Panama. But something was missing. Although there were English-speaking Bible studies and group get-togethers, all were on the weekdays and weeknights. With Jen working, we couldn't participate together. And as gracious as the Panamanian people were in their Bible-based churches, we simply couldn't translate fast enough to keep up. So was being on the other side of Baru the wrong move? Were we in the wrong place? No. Looking back, it's clear that God was guiding us the whole time. We still cherish many of the people and experiences Volcan provided, and we hope we represented Jesus well there. We now more clearly see that God has used our time in Volcan to show us how deeply we needed community. Even if it took an hour and a half, drive each direction through hairpin turns and innumerable potholes in the rainy season, we were willing to do it. And bonus, after months of searching through many disappointing situations, with your prayers, God has gifted us with the right rental at the right time, orchestrating the entire move better than we ever could on our own. This side of heaven, the path looked crooked and confusing, but from His side, we know it's been very intentional with incredible timing. Guidance for us has meant learning to totally depend on God, even when we think we're in control, we're not. But His ways really are higher than we could ever imagine. And that dependence has become even more real in some of the hard parts this year.
And in the hard parts, is where He's met us with grace. Another verse that has been important for us is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And this year, God has been revealing my heart, sometimes our heart, but mostly mine. And he's shown me how often I've chosen to put on fear in times when things have felt out of control. And this one's for you, Kim. I told her if she spoke before me, I would cry. And so now here we go. By nature, I'm a rule follower. And I like clear expectations. I don't think it's a fault. I like to know what the plan is. I'm the person who wants to do things exactly right. I read all the fine print, and it drives people nuts. And I like to anticipate problems and fix them before they even have a chance of happening. And if I'm honest, I can be a bit of a control freak. Not in the sense that I want to be in charge, but in the sense that I just love order. I thrive on it, and I find peace when I have order. And my source of peace is not supposed to be order. And I know that after this year. I kid you not, the day that our lives touched down in Panama City, from that moment on, it felt like every sense of order and control just vanished from our lives. And the challenges just started coming wave upon wave. Our immigration lawyer decided to leave for the U.S. for a whole month without telling us. Our dogs were having stress seizures. The remote job that I had that made it possible for us to even move here and retire Jim laid me off 2.5 months into being in Panama. My last grandpa died. Our daughter had a serious allergic reaction thousands of miles away. I found a lump in my neck, and I had x-rays and ultrasounds and doctors and fear. There were cane toads that could kill our dogs were climbing the steps and meeting us at the front door. They were everywhere. We had either rats or bats or something making a family above our bedroom in the drywall in our house. Our neighbors were slaughtering pigs while I was on Zoom calls. Something like that. Whoever just laughed, that was similar. Somebody broke into our house. And in the middle of all that, we're navigating multiple unplanned moves, being together 24 hours a day, which was new for us, and just all the normal stresses of starting over with loneliness and uncertainty baked into that process. There were moments that I found myself asking God, why would you let this be so hard when we were stepping out in obedience? Shouldn't things be smoother than this if you're in it? Which I know is not the way that actually works in my head. But rule followers sometimes expect that following the rules leads to rewards or gold stars or pats on the back. And so for someone like me who finds safety in rules and plans and checklists, this has been a year of feeling like the rules just keep changing and all of my systems stopped working. And yet right there, in those places where we couldn't control the outcome or change the circumstance, God did something we couldn't. He met us over and over and over again with grace. In a peace that hasn't made sense, despite the circumstances and what we could see with our eyes. In people who greeted us like we were family, who encouraged us, who shared rental opportunities with us. Like every time we walked in the door, someone had a new rental possibility. Friends who unpacked our kitchen for hours, cooked us food, held our hands, and prayed for our kids without even asking. And just showed up with practical help when we really need it, and you didn't even know. And that's God. And in the many other ways that God has quietly provided or shown us undeserved favor, not always in the way that we would have planned it, and not always on our preferred timeline, but always enough for the next step, and always ultimately for our good. He did those things. We didn't, and we couldn't. We're slowly learning that God's grace isn't him saying, I'll make sure all your plans work out, but him saying, I'll be enough for you even when they don't. This year has exposed how much we've trusted in our own ability to manage and organize and control, and how much safer it actually is to depend on him instead. Because even when our plans don't work out, we know that his will, and his plans are better. And like Jim said, his thoughts are higher, and we can trust him completely, whatever he allows us to walk through. So if guidance has been about trusting in God's wisdom, then grace has been about trusting his heart, even when everything in us is saying, this is not how we thought this was supposed to go. We're learning to say individually and as a team from our hearts and truly mean it, the second half of 2 Corinthians 12:9, which ends, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's blessing isn't always us getting exactly what we want. It's the privilege and the freedom he gives us to release our clenched fists and trust him to work everything out for our good. And the tough stuff I'm learning is actually part of the blessing.
So if we had to put a banner over this year, it would be this. God has been teaching us to celebrate our dependence. We haven't done it with marching bands or parades and music that lasts well into the night, but with listening and then stepping forward in faith and then listening again and taking another step. When we trust in his guidance and expect him to show up with his grace, there is less striving, worrying, and controlling, giving us real freedom in our dependence. Dependence in his guidance when the path has felt confusing. Dependence on his grace when we've felt weak, scared, or overwhelmed. Ultimately, we want to be more of him and less of ourselves so that he would be honored in every way. Thank you, BBF family, for accepting us in our brokenness, just as Christ taught you. You never know what your smile, your welcoming words, your faith expressing itself through love will mean to anyone walking through that door or that door. We hope you now know what it's meant to us.